I think the game plan still is to keep the economy going until there can be a replacement of the dollar with a gold-backed currency. I do believe that's certainly still in the game plan, but not this year. Congress has to respond because there's going to be a lot of bank accounts exposed and wiped out if these banks go down. And basically, the major Wall Street banks are exposed on the repurchase agreements something to the order of between $40 and $50 trillion each. This is the historic effort, the historic opportunity we have to save ourselves from this global elite. And I believe that's the war that's going on right now.
I'm proud to share with you Tetragen, which helps you transition to a healthier, happier, and thinner you without cravings or side effects. Our metabolic hormones are the underlying problem that doom every diet and exercise program to fail. They control our metabolism, cravings, how much we eat to feel satiated, blood sugar levels, and even our energy levels. Tetragen is formulated with four clinically proven patented ingredients that help rebalance your metabolic hormones in roughly 15 to 20 days, depending on the amount of weight you want to lose. Once your metabolic hormones are rebalanced, you'll be on the path to long-term, sustainable weight loss because Tetragen is the first in the world which is scientifically formulated with four clinically proven and patented active ingredients to help you reach your targeted weight in two distinct phases. Phase one, rebalance your metabolic hormones, and phase two, accelerate fat loss. The best part is that Tetragen comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose besides weight? Learn more with the link below.
Is that where the 127 number comes from? Because that's how many neighborhoods they have in Washington, D.C.?
There had been a previous work, not by this particular law note, but a previous endeavor. Had publicized the neighborhoods of D.C. and how they could logically be broken up in a separate discussion because of the way they relate to each other and so forth. And that study had done and it concluded that D.C. is really composed of 127 identifiable communities, neighborhoods. And so it was from that 127.
That's ridiculous.
That they decided, well, that's a perfect way. Now, let me go ahead and just define what.
You finish, but it's just like, this is Looney Tunes. It's really Looney Tunes.
Well,
keep going.
Let me tell you, it is a straight-faced, seriously espoused, and fervently believed legal argument they're making, a political argument. I mean, to me, it is so threadbare of the quality of real substance and human understanding. They put it all off on the basis that all men, well, they don't even use the phrase all men are created equal. They use the present phrasing of all are created equal. I give the benefit of the doubt and say, all qualified voters are created equal as far as the right of votes, question.
Yeah.
But they go
all
from
human
there.
All human beings are created equal, but go ahead.
And they say that, in effect, on that basis, the founding fathers completely went off base when they decided to have a bicameral system, that the system of and design of government and splitting authority is completely unacceptable. Therefore, we must reach a design that gives completely equal voting right to every person in the country. Now, even as far-fetched as that, when the founding fathers clearly understood what they were doing and we're making various decisions in order to form a more perfect union, that is, to get states to be willing to come in so that you didn't have blank spots that said, no, we're not going because we would be unfairly prejudiced, our people would, if we accept your rules. They adopted this state approach that would protect the states and the people in them and their interests and appreciate them equally, at least in one of the houses, so that they could feel comfortable in bringing their people into a federation of this nature.
Yeah, because otherwise we would truly be flyover country where I live, and there'd be no use of being part of the union, period.
That's very, very close to the circumstance that was being discussed then, in order to get a willingness of even 13 states to come into the union at the time it was adopted. And so those were all compromises. But one of the important aspects of it is that at that time, each state, regardless of size, regardless of population, would have the same number of senators. And those two senators would be selected by the state legislatures, not by direct vote of the people. So that was moved away from in a much more recent amendment with direct election of senators. But even that, in many respects, weakened the Constitution rather than improving it, in my opinion.
Why would you say that weakened it when the people voted for the senators?
Because when the senators are appointed by the states, their states have interests that are best understood by the state legislators. And the state legislators know what their state interests are, and they can hold these guys to task for it. But when you go into a matter of popular vote, then it's a matter of how handsome a guy is or a woman is or this or that, and all kinds of political things that depend much more upon the press than upon, you know, what the interests are of the state. There are arguments to be made about it, but I think on the whole, people who have studied that thing seem to be of the view that it was a bad mistake to go to direct election of senators.
Okay, well, let's talk about this 127 areas. Now, would each neighborhood, I mean, how would they represent each area of the country? I mean, would we even have any representation?
Well, no, that's not what would happen at all. It's just that they would be people selected in those 127 neighborhoods and would have their allegiance to them. And the idea that that would somehow transfer and assure a more fair distribution and representation for people, say, in New York or New Jersey or California or Arizona or any place else is preposterous. It obviously would not be the case at all. It would be.
How could they be serious? Go ahead.
It could be serious in this way. It is much like what you and I have talked about previously, the 1901 plan. That was a little book that not many people were supposed to be reading, but it was a plan to be put out there, and this is the game plan so that this is what we're going to be working over on the next 100 years. And this little law note in the Harvard Law Review would be a game plan for just the insiders to know about. But what we're looking for is a circumstance in which we have the House and we get the Senate, and if we have the presidency or maybe the different party, but an establishment guy, we put this thing through with a simple vote of the House, a majority vote, not a two-thirds vote, not a two-thirds vote of the Senate to amend the Constitution. They call it an amendment of the Constitution, but they were doing it completely by a so-called majority vote of both houses, and overnight, we have a completely different Constitution, a Constitution in which 127 congressmen are from D.C., and twice that number of senators are from D.C., and all of a sudden, voting power is centered in Washington, D.C., no place else.
Well, then all these states, then the states would have no reason to be part of the union again.
Why would anybody be
part of the union?
They would be controlled because they're already in it, and the people in Washington, D.C. would have control of the military. They would have control of whatever's necessary to keep the states in. It would be a dictatorship.
This is a move by a global elite to create a centralized government that they control. That's one of the ways that's what they're telling people they want to do.
It would be a destruction of the republic that was formed by our Constitution in 1789. Would be the end. They actually have in this same law note, as soon as that is accomplished by having those votes in the House and the Senate, since they would have control immediately, they would immediately adopt additional amendments to the Constitution that would make it unrecognizable to what we've had in the past. And they list several of them.
Wow, I need to include that. I need to include that here for people to be able to access it and read it. What are some of the amendments that they're wanting to add?
Just a moment, and I'll just pull that up. Okay, here are the new amendments. First of all, they would transfer the Senate's power to a different body. All of this, the Senate, as it's now comprised, would be amended. They would simply adopt an amendment to transfer all of the power the Senate presently has to a different body, and that body would be elected according to population, not according to states. So that both the Senate and the House would representation would be basically all based on numbers, not states or states' rights. They expand the House of Representatives to include all the territories and to give them equal representation in all of the U.S. territories. That means the various islands and so forth. They'd abolish the Electoral College so that the president would be elected entirely by popular vote. Now, people keep thinking that the Electoral College is just unfair. It is the only thing that keeps New York and Los Angeles and California and Chicago from stealing every election that they choose to elect, because when you do not have an Electoral College, it's the matter of who's the biggest cheater, who does the worst in terms of protecting the integrity of the vote. The more you put in of fake votes, the more likely you are to be the kingmaker across the country.
Well, doesn't it make you just irritated that Hillary Clinton's throwing a tantrum? It's still based on her tantrum because she didn't win based on the popular vote, which I don't even believe. And it's, why does she have that much power? It's just that her little tantrum because she didn't win. That's what it seems like. She's still in the background affecting stuff.
She's an operative. She's not the ruling elite, but she is certainly a very high operative of that ruling elite. The cabal of power centers around the world that are trying to go globalist, so they have a global dictatorship. They've had their global operation since at least the 1800s. They've been going after every nation we know to control every nation ever since at least the 1901 plan. They said their plan was to pull down every nation so they can rule from a central location and not have to deal with local governments, certainly not local governments that are elected by the people who are in that area. So those are the circumstances that we're dealing with, and she is a very high operative there, by all indications, born into it by the families that have run the cabal for centuries. And so in that circumstance, that is why it's not so much that woman, it is the powers behind that woman who still have a use for her, it appears, that allows this to continue in our present day. And so,
well, and I don't like to say that woman either. I've just done so many studies, or you know, shows on her and the evil that she was behind. I think her husband's just as bad, but it's it just, why can't they go away? You know what I mean? At least,
well,
Obama seems
that,
to have gone away.
I think that her husband, by all reports, is from the same families. And so both were there together for a reason. The murky stuff, it just is not something we can get into with the time we have. But nevertheless, when you see what I've told your audience in previous interviews, what Franklin Roosevelt did to impose starvation and to starve to death as many Americans as possible, not to mention others around the world, and to still be so effectively, completely alibied for and covered up for his misdeeds and his crimes against humanity, it is an indication of just how powerful this cabal is and controlling the information Americans get. We're somehow able to get better information through avenues such as your show and inquiring minds such as yours. But it is very difficult to do that on a continuous basis and on a scale that is necessary in order to inform more people. As bad off as we are in the United States with this attack against our constitutional government, think of how difficult it is for every other nation in the world to try to get a foothold to try to regain the power that people are entitled by their nature to have in terms of affecting their own lives.
Without free speech, without our First Amendment. Yep.
It's a dire circumstance here, but it is far more hopeful here. And our country can still be the leading light for the world in terms of giving a hand up to those who really desire freely elected representative government, Republican government, republic. It's irritating to me that they insist, everyone insists on calling this a democracy when it is the opposite end of the spectrum from a democracy, which is mob rule. Democracy has not prevailed in the world because it requires every person to vote on every item of government that comes to mind. And when you try that approach, the people who use violence the best are the ones who affect their control of government.
It's a democratic republic, right? I mean, only a democracy in the sense that we vote in our representatives. People who represent us.
Voting in our representatives is what a republic is. But the word has become practically transposed. But nevertheless, we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about fair elections for honest people who can be held to account. And I think that that is what ought to shed the light on just how badly served we've been by this aristocracy of the elite in our own country that have put people in office and control them and control our law schools and control our major so-called elite universities and in such a way as to strip true history out of our knowledge and grasp and to mislead people in such a way as to get them advanced down this path of 127 states out of the District of Columbia to rule our country from now on.
Well, that's just crazy. Well, I'm going to have a, yeah, that's just absurd. It's an Onion article is what it should be. Okay, I'm going to put it on my link in my show notes and on my website. Can you tell us about how they can get signed up for your blog and get your book, which your book is fantastic?
Well, thank you very much. Classicalcapital.com is my website. The book, The Fruits of Graft, Great Depressions Then and Now, your audience has heard about it in the past, and I greatly appreciate the response I've had there. But few people, in fact, out of your many viewers, have actually bought the book. I still believe fervently that it is the only source that you will find to tell the true history of the Great Depression, and also what preceded that, the planning of it, the plotting of it, what else has been plotted, the 1918 influenza, both world wars, all of these things, including our present circumstance, has been very much the product of this global cabal that seeks to dominate the entire world and control every nation. So if you want to find the true history of it, I think when you find that out and do the research yourself, I've given so many footnotes in it, that's the basis upon which, yes, it's painful, but you have to change your worldview. It changes your way of being able to evaluate what you're seeing and hearing from our politicians today. So I thank you very much for the invitation to say something about it.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Keep doing what you're doing and keep appearing in interviews. Keep getting the word out there. And thank you so much for everything that you do.
Thank you, Sarah. Great being with you.